you know, it does, it still feels a little bit like, you know, wearing my dad's shoes, but it's, they were big. Oh, big feet.
Big, but big.
Massive, massive feet. Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens, and joining me this week, we have my close personal friends from reality. We have the United City FM, Kev, and we have Jebba Roo. Kev, hello, mate. How are we?
Hello. I'm doing good, thank you. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about last week, if I may, because I showed up on Sunday last week to record a podcast, nobody else did. You were all elsewhere, but I had a note on my desk somehow saying, Kev, no, you're not allowed to present a podcast. Please stop and go about your day. Love, Rich. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop what I was doing, couldn't record an episode of the Football Manager Therapy podcast and go about my Sunday. I'd like an explanation, please, because everybody else wasn't here. I was ready, Rich. I was ready. I was going. I was there. Oh. I was able, but...
I think it's because you stumbled over the name of the podcast.
Probably
that's what it was.
It's early. Yeah. It's not. It's 11:10, but you know.
That's early.
Yeah, words are hard. Yeah. Words are hard when you're making things up, Jeb.
It's a hard thing to say. Football Manager Therapy does not roll off the tongue particularly easily.
Therapy. Yeah. Anyway. Hi, Rich. I'm doing all right. How are you, my friend?
It's been a hot minute, hasn't it? Yeah, so sorry, everybody, by the way, for the lack of podcast last week. We were we're all off just paying tribute to mums, mainly ours, possibly some others. That was the gist of it. You know, I saw my mum and I put my arm around her and I said, Mum, you've been developing really well in training recently. Keep it up. And then she told me she thought she'd been training to an appropriate standard for quite a long time and now morale in the family is just rock bottom. So I don't know what to do. It turns out, she's an influential player in the family as well. So,
I hope you've brought them back into training on Monday morning, though.
I'm now in the market for. I'm just looking see if any other families locally are insecure, and I'm just gonna, you know, declare my interest in those families, hopefully just get an interview and just.
My mum was absent from training, so you know it's
a bit. Oh, typical.
Me, so you know.
Oh, so I'm sorry to hear that. So how has she reacted to the half a week's wage fine?
Oh no, I do 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks wage fine. Yeah, I'm not messing around on that. You miss a day of training, you got to show them 2 weeks wages.
Yeah, you know, I get
the iron fist. That's how it is. That's how it works for me. Anyway, hi Rich, I'm fine.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I am recovering from a day of allergies because allergy season is back. So that was a fun, snot-filled day yesterday, and hopefully there's no carryover into today, but we have had some sneezes, so if I do sound a little bunged up, that is probably why.
Never fun.
I just sat playing a lot of FM yesterday, and...
That's fun.
Whilst some being... Dogs. No, it wasn't fun. We'll go into that later.
Yeah, for the audio listeners, there was just a little glint in his eye there, just of anger. You could just see it bubbling away in the corner, little bubbly idling, the worst kind. But I'm sure we'll hear all about that later. I'm sure we will. And I'm sure everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's absolutely fine.
Absolutely fine.
Good. Yeah. Good. It's a pleasure to be back, fellas. It's lovely to have you both here this morning. Looking forward to having a lovely old conversation with you about some football managerings, both past and present. I suppose we should focus to begin with on the present, because if you remember a few weeks ago, I was asking Kev if I could borrow his big golden cummerbund.
It is yours.
As it turns out, there was somebody else that was trying to, I think they're trying to borrow it from you. I'm not overly familiar with the format, but that's what I've pieced together.
Pretty much.
From my head. Yeah, Limo wanted a little go with your big gold cummerbund, didn't he, Kev?
He wanted to hold my belt. Came at me for it, to be honest, which was, you know, a bit mean-spirited of him, I think, personally. You know, does a lot of very good stuff for mental health. What about my mental health? What about me? But yeah, he came for it. He tried.
What have you done with Kev? Sorry. Very egotistical, this.
It's my title belt. It's all business with my title belt. Nobody messes with my title belt. Off the fence. No, Mr. Nice Guy. It's mine. It's mine. Okay. It's okay. Mine.
I'll stop.
Okay. Thanks. Anyway, so Limo came at me for it. Oh, by the way, if I just move slightly this way, can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see it?
I can.
Spoiler alert, it's still mine. Limo came for me. We had a fantastic drafting night. Literally 5 minutes before we went onto the live stream, Michael, the commissioner of the whole organization, went, £500 million, by the way, you can't buy defenders. Pardon? £500 million, you can't buy defenders. Okay. 5 minute of short loss listing, go. So I went, okay, I need to find my defensive options. So that's all I did in the 5 minute shortlisting time. I found defensive options from midfield that I thought were capable. And in the end, it served me really well. I don't know what Limo did in that 5 minutes himself as to whether he thought he had a different plan or whatever. But that's all I did for 5 minutes, hunted for about eight players that I could play across my back line. In the end, I went with McTominay and Casemiro because I know them, being a United fan, and I think in-game they're pretty decent defensively, both in aerial and tackling and other bits and pieces. And they were magnificent for me all evening long, playing in a back four that consisted of a couple of guys that could sort of play sort of as a wing-back, maybe sort of, and those two in my centre of defence. The superstar of my evening, because I did eventually win, we then played basically a 90-minute match. And what I mean by mm-hmm. that is there was a in-real-life clock that was set to 90 minutes, and we played as many Football Manager matches in that 90 minutes that we could. And the scoreline across the games, the aggregate scoreline, was then determined who won or who lost. And in the end, I won it, I think, 14-12 across those games because Limo had a bit of a moment where he had sendings off and weird goalkeeping moments and all sorts of stuff. And Mannion, is it Simon Mannion? I can't remember his first name.
Mike. Goalkeeper. Mike Mannion.
There you go. Thank you. Sorry. Couldn't remember his first name. But he was my absolute superstar all evening long. Kept a couple of very key shots out and did brilliantly well. And ultimately, I won my title match against Limo. It was close. He was a tough challenger. But the 4-4-2s collided and mine came out on top just. I think he regretted Aaron Ramsdale. I did not regret Mike Mannion. He was fantastic. And I am still your reigning, defending, undisputed FM World Heavyweight Champion. And then last night, as we speak, the commissioner of the organization went, no, that's not good enough. I need more. So he put on an event last night, the County's Cup or whatever they called it. And there was the winner of said group matches and knockout phases got a title shot against me. And there was lots of people in there. You might know people like Big Man on Campus was in there. Gavin Brash was in there. Lots of good people. The one that won it was a guy called Luke, who is now coming for my title. I've played him before recently enough in Wishlist, so we've had a little bit of a history moment there. And at some point in the next few weeks, he will get a title shot against me, and we will see what happens there. But just to reiterate, no fence, no Mr. Nice Guy. It's mine. It's mine.
Is anybody else slightly scared of, like, assertive, slightly angry sounding Kev?
I'm just blocking out my head because I'm tempted to rock up with a steel chair to the next time.
You couldn't, surely. Anyway, I'm Seth Kev Frickin' Rollins. It's my job to hit people with chairs in the back. Nobody else's, apparently.
Sure.
There you go. This is it. I mean, first and foremost, congratulations, mate. It was
thank you very much.
I was there. I was watching the games, and it was very back and forth. But
it was. It really
Mike
was.
Mike Mignon, or my nan, depending on pronunciations. My nan in goal was fantastic.
He was amazing. He really, really was.
I think if you know, if you're going to go the whole hog, if you're going to get the WWE style side plates on the belt, mm-hmm. I think you should just get one with Mike Minehan's face on it, or just get a Panini sticker of Mike Minehan, just slap it on the belt,
slap it on there, yeah,
just for posterity.
Yeah.
The other thing I would like to address is that you know played 90 minutes of football cumulatively with Scott McTominay. As a defender,
I did,
and you were lauded for your tactical nous and your decision making. Yeah,
indeed.
I do it in the network game, and I just get laughed at repeatedly.
Rightly so.
Can we just briefly address the double standards here,
or
is that just
no? We can quite easily. Okay. You ready for this? Yep. Are we all sitting comfortably? Mm-hmm. I had no defenders, Rich. Do you?
Neither did I.
You had loads.
And you had millions of pounds in which you could have bought a better squad to do it with. Come on, Rich.
All right, fine. Okay,
and
fine. Look.
Harvey Barnes. I mean, that's it.
Don't make me get Roy out.
Sorry. Okay. We're all fine. We're all just having a good time recording a podcast. That's all we're doing. Just wanted to check.
No, I'm glad that we got that sorted.
This is it. When I said it, I knew that I was somehow in the wrong. I just needed that confirming for me. That's all I need. That's what I do.
Can we change the subject and move away from my title now so I can chill out and be nice again, please? I don't like it very much, if I'm honest, but
I think we should. Because I'm scared. I think we should move on.
It's still definitely mine though, just to you know.
All right, just to reiterate, it's definitely Kev's. Yeah. Definitely Kev's. Whose belt? Kev's belt. I said whose belt? Kev's belt. And that'll do. We should probably move on to something a little bit more, a little less intimidating, I suppose. And if there's anybody out there like me who is a massive nostalgia merchant, the past is generally speaking quite good, isn't it? Remember the past? The past was good. We enjoy the past.
If you're looking for nostalgia, it's the place to be.
Oh my God, it's chock full of it. The future, less so, but the past, so good. So good. And thanks to friend of ours, friend of the podcast, friend of the people, friend of the wider FM community, the Mad Scientist, the past is back on FM 24, baby. Last week, Mad Scientist has released his retro database, the 2007-2008 season. Has finally dropped, and it's just another Mad Scientist work of art, basically, is the only way to really describe it. It's so good. If you've never played one before, basically, our good friend Mad, as soon as the new FM releases, he just starts making a custom database, and he has spent the last 6 months on it, give or take. He basically just creates every single player from scratch, and then uploads them all into a giant database, which you can download for free from, it's on his Patreon, it's on Steam Workshop, basically, you can get it from anywhere. And then you just start a new save, plug in the custom database, and you just get to live in the past. And it's 2007, 2008, which in my head isn't actually that long ago, like, because I can't do maths. It doesn't feel like it's that long ago, but actually in reality it is. He was like, "Oh, yeah, I'm doing 07, 08. I'm like, "Why? That was only like 4 or 5 years ago. That seems like a real waste." Why? Probably about that long ago. Yeah, it's 15, 16 years ago. Absolutely bonkers, isn't it? It's absolutely wonderful. We've all spent a little bit of time with it recently. Spoiler alert, if you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, at the time of recording tonight, we are doing our FMT versus the community draft, and we're going to be using this database, the lovely, lovely Mad Scientist Retro Database. It's so much fun. It's so much fun. Lads, Kev, we'll start with you, Paul. Have you spent much time on his retro databases previously? Is this the kind of, you know, do you enjoy a little walk down memory lane when it comes to looking at players?
I think that there are two ways in which I look at it. One, I haven't really done much with it as a content creator. It's not been something that I've done on my streams particularly, other than the occasional maybe community draft that I've run maybe with a retro database, but that's as much as I've done in terms of actually creating content with it. But within my own setup of doing some things behind my scenes, as it were, yes, I mean, the more recent ones, what did he do the previous year? Was it 92, 93 or something? 99 was he done recently?
Last year, so 23 was 98, 99.
99, yep.
And then FM 22 was 92, 93.
Yeah, so I've played bits of them, but what, more than anything, Rich, we're going to do some of this today a little bit. It's just really easy to drop in there, even as an unemployed manager, and go, oh, look at him. Oh, look at him. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at them as a collective. Oh, what was happening around this sort of time in terms of who won what? It's just an amazing thing to go through, especially when you get to my age, which is a little bit older than 20-something. And this was kind of my era of football. That sort of period between the early 90s and the mid-2000s is kind of when I was most connected to the game and most connected to my team and what we were doing and trying to do, and felt like, for me as a Man United fan, the last 15 years have been fairly rubbish, but you still live off of that, kind of period, because it was successful and where you felt most engaged with it. So yeah, I've done lots of stuff with it, but not necessarily as a content creator, if that makes sense.
Sure. Which is absolutely fair enough, which is absolute, because this is the thing. It's not always, you know, I streamed a fair bit of it. I did, I think, three seasons with Inter Milan last year. And it's just, it's very, very different, like a normal stream. Sorry, save on stream, because you know you can pretty much guarantee you start those streams up and you'll put, you know, say, oh, it's a retro database, and then you're going to have people that have never been in your chat before, like, oh, hey, what does so and so look like in this database? So I was like, oh, what does Ronaldinho look like, or what does Eto'o look like? Oh, let's go and have a look, shall we? And people are just like pinging off players, and it's, you know, it's some of the most famous players in the world. Then somebody's like, oh, well, I supported Scunthorpe, and there was a centre back that I really liked that we had around this time. What's he looking like? Oh, let's find out. And it's very, very different in terms of content creation. It's a very, very different stream to like your standard
and,
kind of.
And you might get to one match a stream.
Absolutely one match a stream. Or you could find yourself in the situation that we find ourselves in, Jeb, when we did the path to the playoffs with the retro database. It was about 4.5 hours we spent on the database without even pressing continue once.
Yep, that was correct. And somebody had Ferenc Puskás because of the way the database was built. But that was something to do with the playoff side of things. I remember Sky's like, Puskás wasn't around then. It's like, let's just do Wario memes for the rest of the stream. So that. But yeah, there was a lot of fun with that. I think that was my first hosting gig with the playoffs. And then I did the draft for the main one. I had Mad and Lama on. And I've never met either of them before, but I had so much fun with both of them because Lama was in his element. He could list off every single 92, 93 player. I think when Mel Sterling got drafted, he just went into complete like nirvana. It was just like, this is exactly what we want to talk about. It's the first player that I care about most. And then obviously Mad, as soon as anybody got picked from Palmer, was like, yep, there you go. They're the secret players. They've all been secretly boosted, but I'm not going to reveal that. Whoops. But yes, that was a lot of fun. And then we obviously had the database last year, which was it 98, 99?
And that was
great as well. I mean, that was when you had Owen coming through, Robbie Fowler, like the Liverpool players you could list off was great, but then it was just the rest of the Italian league was at its absolute peak. I mean, Batigol was at his very, very best. I think he won me the retro draft actually on the FMT versus community last year with it. I always have a lot of fun with them. This one in particular, a little bit salty on it. Looking back at it, looking how good that Liverpool team was and how it didn't win anything. I think that was the season we finished second to Man United when we were very comfortable. Well, I think we were comfortably in the lead and then we lost 1-0 to Middlesbrough and it kind of went down from there. Was this the one where, I think this season where Gerrard kissed the camera, didn't he?
And oh, certainly around there,
then
yeah.
Then Makeda kissed the camera the next week. It was back and forth, kissing the camera.
They didn't even wipe it down in between. Same camera, same smooches.
Yeah, everyone said, oh, it's what a unique celebration stuff. Actually, no, it was when Soccer AM used to go, this is the celebration we want a player to do this weekend, and Gerrard did it. which obviously worked really well for them. And look at Soccer AM now.
I was going to say, when it was relevant.
Yeah. I wonder what they're up to these days.
Yeah. But yeah, no. So yeah, I think 07-08, I've had a look through. I don't know if we're going into teams just yet, but I've had a look through some of the teams and some of the interesting bits of it. So I started to save up with Nottingham Forest. So I just simmed the first season. Mm-hmm. I unlocked 8 achievements on Football Manager by simming that season because we won the league. We won it by the most points. We scored the most goals there. I was like, oh, kind of cheated here, but not. I didn't even adjust the tactics. I just didn't sign anyone to do anything. We got promoted. And I signed Danny Murphy and Robbie Fowler in my close season. I've not gone back to it yet. But the two teams I want to focus on is, first one, Derby County. This is the season Derby County got 9 points, or was it 9 or 11 points in the Premier League. And you go in and look at the squad, you can totally understand why. You can completely understand why this happens. As my Derby County friend said, you've got Claude Davis and Darren Moore as your centre-backs. Good luck. Wow. You also got Stephen Bywater as your goalkeeper. But you actually look into the squad, and they've got some all right players there. Granted, Kenny Miller is apparently your best player. So, okay. He was just about the best player for Rangers when they were making the little comeback, but that was about it. You've got Robert Earnshaw, who is a championship striker and always will be, unfortunately. You've got Steve Howard is your number 9.
I mean, he's got something about him in attributes.
Yeah,
he's got no pace, but other than
attributes,
that, good target.
But then you've got some nice, you've got some nice youngsters knocking around. Giles Barnes is, I remember Giles Barnes just in that FM era. Raced to sign him because he was so good as a wonder kid. David Jones is quite a good central midfielder and also a presenter for Sky Sports. And Jay McEverley's all right. I never thought I'd ever say that, but Jay McEverley's actually pretty good as a 22-year-old, so he's got plenty to develop. And then looking into the under-21s, there's two players that stand out. One of them's very surprising. One of them's Lewin Niatanga, who you can start as one of your centre-backs, Gavin Moore or Claude Davis immediately. And the other one's a central midfielder. Never guess what his name is.
Go on.
It's Matt Richards. Whatever came of that guy?
He kept that quiet.
Exactly.
He did. Yeah, yeah. I don't remember seeing him on Match of the Day when he was 12. But hey, you know.
But I think it's the thing where, so I started up the Derby save and I've brought in a load of players on trial. So the trialists that I have in my Derby, this is just to highlight who's available on a free. You've got Matias Almeida, defensive midfielder from Argentina. Yari Littman in at 36. Igor Bishkan, Champions League winner Igor Bishkan. Hatem Trebisi, who's played for Newcastle. And then you've got Kleberson and Fabian Barthez. And Barthez is still very, very good. So if you need a replacement to Stephen Bywater, you've definitely got it there. I think it is very much just beat relegation in whatever way you can. You've got a £2 million budget. You've got quite a small wage budget. You've got all right facilities, to be fair, but nothing amazing. So, yeah, there's, I mean, you've got Gary Teal as well and Andy Todd. It's just like, how can you expect to get anywhere? I think it is trimming some of that fat, but if you can get any money for them, that's also quite important because you might struggle. I found transfers quite difficult in this database. I don't know if anyone else has played around in it, but they have been quite difficult to pull off. Either they want too much money up for the transfer, but or you get past that and then you get to wages. Like, oh, I can't do that either because they all want loads of money. So it's quite difficult. It's just getting that balance right. The other team that I looked at in the Premier League it's a sad story, actually. Reading came out this week. They are there's no nicer way to put it. They are being screwed over by their owners completely.
They are.
The owners are now selling the training ground to Wickham. The stadium, there's protests. There's very, very, very big chance they're going to go under in the next couple of months. And that's a horrible story because they were in the Premier League 15 years ago, just been promoted. And they've got quite a nice squad about them. They've got a bit of money to spend. You've got top-tier training facilities, top-tier youth facilities, which are obviously now being sold off, which is a sad thing. But yeah, there's a couple of people you can chip away at in their squad as well. I've had a look through. Like, you've got Shane Long, who is a young Shane Long. You've got a young Kevin Doyle, who was actually quite prolific in the Premier League, if I remember correctly. Keeper wise, you've got Marcus Hanneman knocking around there. You've also got Graham Stack, who you don't really want to go into. There's a podcast called The Upshot. There's a whole podcast about Graham Stack because he is very, very old school in his Arsenal. So I think he was part of the Invincibles team for Arsenal, but he was still very much in the George Graham era of Arsenal player. Mm-hmm. So he still used to go out on Tuesdays. still used to cause a lot of trouble. So he used to do very strange things. You've got Leroy Lita as well. So you've got quite a good front line there. And then you've got like Andre Bique, De La Cruz, Messina, Michael Dubry at the back. So you've got quite a solid back line as well. I think this is where Sidwell had moved on. Has Sidwell gone to...
Sidwell's just gone to Chelsea on a free.
Yeah, just gone to Chelsea. Yeah. So you've got a bit of money to spend off the back of there as well. So Reading's a nice challenge, I think. And I think I had a look because Morecambe got promoted that year into League Two, but Mads only done it to League One. But League One, Leeds are in there with minus 15 points because this is when they got points deductions for being having no money, essentially. But they've still got Jermaine de Beckford and a few players like that. So there's a challenge there with Leeds in League One. But I think Reading could be a nice team to build with. I think one of the players that is in the database, which I do find quite funny, is Jamie Vardy's in that database. You can get him away from Stocksbridge Steels, which he refuses to leave. I don't know why. Like, you get your bid accepted. He goes, no, I want to stay here. I've just signed a contract with Stocksbridge Steels, the amateur club. I don't want to come to the Premier League. Why would I want to do that? Because it's Jamie Vardy. I don't know if WKDs were around in those days.
more of a hooch man back then.
Yeah. So you've got to find the right thing to bribe him with. But yeah, they're the teams I'd have a play around with. Derby, I probably will have a little bit of a play around with more this week, see where we get to. Like I said, I've got Forest. Forest are in League One as well, so they're in the Championship, so I've got Forest saved to go back to. And I think Chris Commons at Forest got 35 assists in the season. And yeah. People say corners are broken in this game. I don't know what they're on about. We only scored 42 goals from corners.
Yeah, not a clue. Not a clue. Definitely. I've heard the way to, you know, the best thing about corners is just, you know, definitely not short corners. Short corners are rubbish. Never try them. Especially anybody who's playing with us tonight. Don't try short corners.
Overrated. Wow. Terrible. No, right.
Yeah. Terrible.
Bear that in mind.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers, lads. I mean, what? No? Hey? Hello? Podcast? Yeah, it's really, really... That's the I think that's what, for me, that's one of the most interesting things about this database, is that if you go back to the older Mad Scientist databases, every team in some capacity has some form of superstar in it. Like most top-tier clubs have got at least one player where, like, oh my goodness, that's a really, really, really... That player would make it into my first team, but they're playing for a relegation candidate in this database. I think whereas this one, because it's a lot more recent, and I think there was, you know, you kind of get the feeling with the older, like, champ managers, in terms of player attributes, they're like, oh yeah, that player can run quite fast. 20 pace? Yeah, 20 pace. It's like, that player can't run very fast at all. 3 pace? Yeah, 3 pace. What about anything in between those? No, there'll be nothing in between those. So you had strikers or midfielders that you remember being, oh, they're pretty all right, but they've just got world-class attributes dotted around everywhere. I think the data was a little bit more, you know, they spent a little bit more time on it, kind of as the games have gone on. It's, you know, the realism aspect has kind of come in a little bit more. So when you look at your Derby counties, for example, like, there's no, like, some players in there have got, you know, they've got a little bit about them, but there's no player that you can rely on to kind of lift you out of trouble.
Yeah,
it's a lot more kind of true to life than it is. The nostalgia is there, but also, like, oh, the nostalgia is there, and also this player is significantly better based on their in-game attributes than they were in real life. So Derby County especially, it's going to be something a lot of people are going to be taking a little look at. And if you're after, like, a one or two season save, Derby County is surely the one for you.
Yeah, it's just there's that. Oh, there's Bolton. Bolton's team's ridiculous when you look at it. Because this is when Anelka played for Bolton. So I think your first job is to keep hold of Anelka. You've also got El Hajj Doof. Stelios, Kevin Nolan, Gary Speed, rest in peace. Mikel Alonso, I forgot he was on loan there. Remember when he used to play central midfield? He tried to be like his brother and wasn't very good. Even Campo is still there as well. And Ian Walker. So, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not Bolton.
Take it all back.
Yeah.
You've got a young UC Jaskalainen as well. He's only 32 at this point. He's got another decade in him easily.
A young Kevin Davis as well. He's 30, but still.
Yeah.
Actually, corners, there you go. Kevin Davis, done.
There you go.
Won the league.
Yep, exactly. It's easy. It's easy to do. Just stick it on Kev Zed. And you've got Kevin Nolan playing behind them as well. I mean, oh, what a Bolton team. I know Howie Roll Owen is very, very excited about this Bolton side.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the people. The most Irish man I've ever met, Howie Roll Owen, Bolton fan. This is for him. Peak Owen content. Kev, what about you, pal? You've been having a little look around a few different clubs, different countries. You've left England and you've gone all European.
I sort of, yeah. I mean, I've got two English things options for you in terms of saves, but I've also got an Italian one as well. So I'm going to start with the English one just because we've been talking about England as a nation a little bit already. And I would like you to have a look with me at Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham Hotspur in this database, I've got the likes of Ledley King is in there. We've got Robbie Keane, Jermaine Defoe, Berbatov is in there. There's some very good players at Tottenham. But the reason that I want to bring this lot to your attention is that I've been banging the drum for a long time. And I even made a YouTube video about it on somebody else's channel a few years ago. I genuinely feel like Tottenham is one of the hardest teams to play at in FM because you automatically come up against the other top teams in the Premier League, whichever era you are in, either Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Man City, Liverpool are in a really great place. And there's usually a couple of them. But Tottenham have this expectation that they should be there or thereabouts sort of fighting for these things and became part of that kind of big six thing for a little while by getting close to Champions League qualifications and other bits and pieces. But they never really did it, did they? They never really moved on from that point. And they're still struggling with that. I mean, Harry Kane obviously had to leave the club to go and win a title, which he's not going to do. but, you know, he attempted to find a different route to winning a title because he didn't feel Tottenham were going to be able to do it anymore. Now, spoiler alert for this save, Harry Kane, I believe, is in the under-18s of this Tottenham setup at the age of 14. You've got a 14-year-old Harry Kane who has got 19 determination. So there might be a player in there. We'll see whether anybody can get the best out of him moving forward. But this Tottenham side is not up to the standard, I believe, that some of the other big six clubs are around them. There are some very good squads around at the top of the Premier League. But I want to see who can do this. Who can actually get Tottenham to win stuff very consistently before they actually do it at all in IRL terms. So you've got, 15 years to figure this out and see if you can get them to the top of the Premier League properly. So that's always my go-to team because I think some of the other big sides in England are a little bit too good necessarily to properly have a real save with. But Tottenham Hotspur is my one for that. Then we move abroad and it's more the story of the club because, again, if you go and have a look at the players, I don't think they are as connected as some of the other big teams around. I'd like to go to Napoli. Now, if you go and have a look at the squad at Napoli, there are some good players in here. I mean, you've got a 19-year-old Marek Hamšík. If you go and have a look at Marek Hamšík at 19, I think there's a player in there to build around, potentially. One that I really liked from back in the day when we were playing old school FM and Championship Manager, Manuel Blassi. Central defensive midfielder, Italian central defensive midfielder, really good at this point, 26 years old. So they've got some really good players dotted through an all right squad. But the simple reality for me is that the reason I went to Napoli is it's actually the story of the club. This is in 2007, 2008. And in 2004, IRL, the club was declared bankrupt and chucked down to Serie C. And they've built themselves back up to get back to Serie A at this point. And about 5 years from now, they were qualifying for Champions League spots and winning cup competitions and other bits and pieces. And I think there's a really interesting save in here. This is a club back on the rise, having been absolutely decimated. And what can you do with them? What can you, knowing what we know about the players of this sort of world, if you are a football fan and have been for a long time, you will know what youngsters, for example, come out of this era of football. Can you draw a few of them towards Napoli and actually take Napoli to a bigger height than they actually realized IRL in terms of winning cup competitions and getting to those Champions League qualification spots, etc.? I think there's a really interesting challenge in there because, again, like Tottenham, you now look at a Napoli side where you want to try and get them bigger and better, but you've got Juve and Inter and AC Milan and Roma and a slightly underperforming Lazio potentially at this point that are really going to be hard to get past. But Napoli is my challenge. And the other challenge that I've got, it's just for my own sense of Englishness and what we had at the time. This golden generation of English talent. Now, I'm not going to set the challenge of can you go and win something with England, because I think it's possible to do. And I think the game is set up in the sense that you could probably do it relatively easy with this generation of players. But how many of this golden generation can you gather at one club and dominate domestically? That's going to be my challenge for somebody. If you want to pick up that challenge, let us know how you get on. But you've got the likes of, you know, John Terry, Rio Ferdinand, you've got Gerard Lampard, you've got the likes of Rooney, Michael Owen is around, all sorts of other great, amazing, talented players. How many of these can you gather at a domestic club, wherever it would be, and actually win things with them? How many can you gather and how much can you win? Those are my challenges: Tottenham, Napoli, and the English setup challenge. Interesting stuff, I think. But the database itself, I've been looking through it for regarding this evening's draft. There's some amazing players in this database. There's some absolutely ridiculous talent. You already mentioned, and just in passing, Rich, the likes of Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto'o, etc. You go and look at those two and you go, yep, perfect. I mean, they're just ultimately, they're pretty much perfect. You can't ask for much more than them. And there's a lot like that in there. It's a really fun database to get around, but there's some challenges in there. And if anybody wants a slightly longer term save within it, go for those ones.
I like that challenge, Kev, because I sat and read an entire article on it's 25 years since there's been an all-English starting 11 in the Premier League.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, ooh, I think I saw that headline recently as well myself. Yes. Yeah, so it's been a long time.
So you've already got another 10 years before that even happened. I think Burnley got very close, but they signed Mateus Vidra and then had 10 and 1.
Burnley.
Yeah, I know, that was 2021. That was Sean Dyche, so it might happen at Everton. It's probably will.
There's still time.
Yeah.
There is still time. I think I'm pretty sure I, at some point in my Football Manager playing history, I have tried to put together an all-English Spurs team. I'm sure I have. I'm sure. For some reason, it just feels like if you're going to try and do it, the Premier League, I don't know why, Spurs just feels like the right club to do it with. Mm-hmm. I think they've always had, especially like looking at this version of Spurs, for example, that there is a decent English core to that team.
There is.
Or at least kind of, you know, UK in a roundabout kind of way, because that Spurs side, they've just signed Gareth Bale. He's just turned up from Southampton.
It's a left fullback version of Gareth Bale, though, very specifically at this point, at the age of 18. And he's got all the potential in the world to be an exceptionally gifted attacking fullback at this point. You could obviously train him to be more attacking and convert him to what he ultimately became. But yeah, it's an interesting version of him to see at this moment, isn't it?
Absolutely. And of course, the media, you know, when you look at the Spurs overall profile in game, the hottest prospect is, of course, Adel Taarabt. So, again, you be the judge. You be the judge, foot manager. Can you rewrite? There's the challenge. Can you rewrite history? And can you get a Delta Apps teamwork above a 5, which is what it starts with? Just gloves, 20. Teamwork, no. That's just what he does. It's just what he does. I've had a look at a couple of teams as well, fellas. Mm-hmm. I've had a little look. And I've gone slightly more different routes to the two of you, I suppose. I think if
that's a Jeb's cool kind of thing. We all play the game differently.
Exactly. Don't we just? I mean, Jeb's obviously, you know, he's gone for the Derby counties of the world, and Kev, you've gone for the slightly longer term. Hey, let's rebuild some, you know, let's look at teams like Napoli or Spurs that might take a little while to rebuild. I've kind of gone opposite end of the spectrum almost. Because I've taken a little look. So if you know, I'm doing a save with Barcelona at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Really difficult.
Which is loads and loads of fun. Can't sign anybody. My goodness, I can't sign anybody because everybody wants 100 grand a week. Doesn't matter who it is. 100 grand a week, please, boss. I'm like, no, not giving you 100 grand a week. So I'm trying Barcelona. But there are so many fun teams that you could have a crack at in La Liga this season. I've picked a couple to have a look at. Firstly, if you want longer term, so if you want a slightly longer term challenge, Real Zaragoza. What a Real Zaragoza team this is. It's got two of my favorite ever football manager players in this team. You've got the Argentinian, the best Argentinian attacking midfielder in La Liga at this point, Sos Lionel. You're not fit to lace Pablo Aymar's boots. It's got Pablo Aymar. Pablo Aymar is sublime. All 5'7" of him. He's as agile as the day is long. He can pass, he can dribble, he can hit them from range. It's Pablo Aymar. He can do whatever he wants. It was a bit of a weird, like, when I remember when it happened, you know, from playing management games from around this kind of time, you know, he spent years at Valencia. And then just off he went to Zaragoza. I was like, I don't know enough about European football to understand this move, but I'm absolutely here for it. So they've got the likes of Pablo Aymar. They've also got on loan from AC Milan, another of my favourite FM wonder kids of this generation. Although he's 27 at this point. Ricardo Oliveira. Now, there's a name that I'm really hoping when I say Ricardo Oliveira, I'm going to unlock a memory for at least one person listening to this podcast. There's, oh my God, Ricardo Oliveira. He was great. He was a big Brazilian striker. He's at this point in his career, he's been flitting about basically between Brazil and Spain for most of it. He's been from Santos to Valencia, back to Sao Paulo, to Real Betis. And then he's gone to AC Milan, and they've just loaned him to Zaragoza as well. And he's big, he's quick, he can score goals. He's like, moves into the channels, rounds the keeper, tries first time shots. Like, he's going to be a menace. He's going to be an absolute menace. He's so much fun. I absolutely adore him. It's one of those clubs where you just look at the squad and you go, actually, we talked about this earlier, like, decent squad, couple of superstars. For me, that's your Zaragoza at this point. They've got Andres de Alessandro, who, you know, Portsmouth legend, played 13 games for them a couple of seasons before. Steak Bake will love him. Like, he's in there. It's just such an odd squad, but there's enough superstars in there to do a little bit of damage.
Can we just point out for him, Andres de Alessandro? So if anybody hasn't got this database in front of them, we are talking a 26-year-old Argentinian who has 19 corners, 17 crossing, 19 dribbling, 17 first touch, 18 free kicks, 18 passing, 19 technique, 18 off the ball. It's pretty spectacular, isn't it, really? And he's got, you know, enough mentals and physicals around that to be a decent player within the rest of it as well. But there's some phenomenal players in the context of FM. If you are used to today's FM, you will not see this amount of good attributes, I think, across the board in most players.
Freddie Adu's in this database.
Is he? Freddie Adu is in this database. Yep, he's at Benfica at this point, I think. We'll have a look at Freddie momentarily. The other fun player at Zaragoza, Diego Militao. Remember him? The man who just basically won Inter Milan a treble a couple of seasons after this. He's just kicking around. So if you want one of the best front lines you could hope for, Ricardo Oliveira, Diego Militao, Zaragoza are the team for you. I've also had a look at a couple of shorter term saves because it was a really interesting kind of time in Spanish football, because obviously your dominant clubs in Spain forever have been Barcelona, Real Madrid, and odds on most seasons, they're going to be the two teams that are going to be fighting out for the league title. But at this point in history, there were a couple of other La Liga teams who had really, really good teams that had the potential in real life to kind of, you know, start to break through. And as we've seen with other clubs in real life and within FM saves, you get yourself a club that the core is there, and it's just going to take maybe a little signing here or there, or just, you know, the right bit of management, and you're going to be able to, you know, start challenging your bigger, more dominant clubs in your leagues. Valencia are one of those clubs.
It's a magnificent team, this.
It's so good. It is so good. This Valencia team is, it's borderline a cheat code. If you were to look at this, if you didn't know, you know, kind of like late 2000s football, and you were to show somebody a list of these players with the attributes and say, right, which Spanish team is this? If you didn't know Spanish football, you'd say, oh, it's probably Barcelona or Real Madrid, because these players look amazing. Because my goodness gracious me, you've got the likes of Fernando Morientes. He's 31 years old, but he's 19 finishing, 18 heading. His mental attributes, he's got two that are below 14. Like, he is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So you've got the likes of him. Nikola Zigic, Birmingham City legend. Looks like an absolute world beater on this database. Again, 18 finishing, but this time 20 heading, and he's 6'8".
He's a big guy.
Just making notes of these players for tonight for some reason. Not entirely sure why. But on top of that, he's got 14 pace. He's got 18 for balance, 20 jumping reach. He's an absolute unit. Those are the two starting strikers they've kind of got pre-season. Sat on their bench just in case they don't feel like playing. David Villa, remember him? Arguably one of the greatest strikers in European footballing history. David Villa's there. He's 25 years old. He looks phenomenal. Like, he's quick, 20 finishing, 16 composure, 19 determination, 20 penalty taking. So just in case he gets taken down in the box, he's probably going to score for you. But who's creating the opportunities? Look, here's all these great strikers, but who's giving them the chances to score? Who's creating for them? You've got the likes of Joaquin, the Spanish player who only retired, I think, last year with Betis. Retired at, I think he was 40, maybe 41 when he retired. He's a sprightly 26 here. He looks quite good. Backing him up, Juan Mata. We all quite like Juan Mata, don't we? Juan Mata's quite good. Oh no, Joaquin and Juan Mata are injured. Who's going to create the opportunities? A 21-year-old David Silva. That's who. It's just a creative masterclass.
They've also got another one in there. Another big guy, Vicente. If you have a look at left winger Vicente, he's ridiculous.
Just everything about this team is...
And if you're struggling... There's another 21-year-old knocking around in this database.
There is.
Somebody that would really, really excite Richard Owens.
Go on.
It's Paddy's day as well. Aidan McGeady.
Oh, Aidan McGeady. Aidan McGeady's in this database. Just sign Aidan McGeady for any of these teams and you win the league just automatically. Just maybe. But Vicente looks a little bit special as well, doesn't he? Like, it's quite incredible, really.
They've got a
21-year-old Raul Albiol just kicking around as well, who already looks like an absolute world beater.
I played this squad a lot at this period of time back in the day. I really, really did. I loved this period for Valencia.
If you want to pick a team and you want to try and break into, you know, if you want to try and break the cycle of dominance at the top of a league for, you know, from another couple of teams, Valencia are the team to do it with. But you would imagine, with FM being FM, you've probably only got a season or two before a lot of these superstars start wanting to, you know, bigger clubs are going to, you know, come in for them. You know, your European champions, you know, the likes of you at this point in history, your Manchester United and your Inter Milans are going to come sniffing around a lot of these players. And you're probably not going to be able to keep hold of them for too long. So if you want a shorter term save, get stuck into a club like Valencia, give yourself a couple of seasons, go, right, I want to win the Liga. Valencia are probably the best, your best chance of doing it. They are loads and loads of fun. The other club I've taken a look at for a shorter term save, I've popped off to France. Mm-hmm. Because again, if you don't know your European footballing history, if you think of France, you think of dominance at the moment, obviously Paris Saint-Germain. They've won, what, 8 out of 10 of the last French titles at an absolute canter, slipped up with Monaco, and Lille just had one of the best seasons a smaller club in France have had in recent generations. And they pipped into a title, which is incredible for both of them. But PSG, you would expect season after season, they're going to be the team that are going to smash the league. 15 years ago, there was no money at PSG, and weirdly enough, they weren't winning league titles. At this point in footballing history, the most dominant team in France by some considerable distance are Lyon. Mm-hmm. And again, if you want a team full of superstars, you can't look much further than Lyon. It's obscene, especially by French footballing standards. By the standard of Ligue 1 football, Lyon are just a different stratosphere. Absolutely different stratosphere. It's just full of just world-class players. You've got a young Kim Kallstrom. You've got a young Karim Benzema. You've got the likes of, Jeremy Toulon. You've got Milan Baroš. You've got Janinho, not the Middlesbrough one, the other one. The one who just a free kick was essentially the same as a penalty at that point. Like if you conceded a free kick within 35 yards, you were probably going to concede a goal.
I was listening to a podcast and they mentioned Juninho Pinapapau. I always loved the way you say his surname. That's how it was said on Pez. Juninho Pinapapau. And they just stopped putting walls against him. They were just like, the keeper just needs to see everything. Yeah. Like the walls just get in the way. I need to see where he's going to hit this. Also, he came up on a Friends of the Pod football game call. They put a picture of him in. I got straight away. I was like, who's this? Do you remember him? Fred. Remember Fred, the Brazilian striker?
Yes.
He's really good.
He's really good
in this.
Isn't he?
I think he played in like a Libertadores, didn't he? He played in the Libertadores where the Vuvuzelas first came around and everyone was like, what is this noise? And didn't really play anything else for Brazil. But yeah, he's so strong, it's ridiculous.
Fred's such a weird player from kind of like Brazilian footballing history, because again, it's a time where pretty much man for man, the Brazilian national team were arguably the best in the world at this point. And they had like the best defense. They had the best goalkeepers. They had the best midfield. They had the best wingers. And he said Fred up front and you're like, really? Is there nobody better than Fred? It just felt like world-class player after world-class player after world-class player. And then just Fred, because there were just no other Brazilian strikers that were fit at that point. It almost felt like he was a competition winner. But he was actually, by his own right, actually really, really good at football. Same as players like, you look at players like Joe. You're like, how did Joe get into that Brazilian setup? It felt the same with Fred, but he was actually, credit had a lot more about him than the likes of a Joe.
If his name was like Fred Smith, everyone was like, oh yeah, brilliant. He's great.
World striker.
Yeah. Great striker. Great target, man. You just lumped up to Big Fred and you just put him back in there. But unfortunately, he wasn't.
Because he was Brazilian. He just got tarred with that. Just do a step over, please. That's just come on now. Get involved. But if you want step overs in this team and Fred won't do them for you, Hatem Ben Arfa probably will.
He's probably will.
20 years old. He's going to take over the world. This Lyon team was a bit disgusting. I think at this point they had won 4, maybe 5 Liga titles in a row. So they'd won it every year since 2002. They were on an absolute tear. And if you want a shorter term save again, you're pretty much nailed on to win Liga, but the prize should be Champions League. If you want to try and win a Champions League club, Champions League with a club that hadn't won it, especially in real life, but have a really, really good chance of doing so, if you want to rewrite the history books, European glory with Lyon, give yourself a couple of seasons. I think it's feasible because you've got the bare bones of it there. couple of clever transfers here and there. Surely you're going to be a favourite at that stage. It would be difficult for you not to be. So rewrite history, European title with Lyon. You've got the capabilities. Give it a go. And I think you'll have a great time doing it regardless.
I was just diving around.
Not have fun with that squad.
The French league. I went into Marseille. Mm-hmm. Gibril Cissé is in this database. Mm-hmm. And this is double, he's broke his leg twice horrifically. Mm-hmm. But in this database, he still has 20 acceleration and 19 pace and 17 finishing. He could be horrendous. Horrendously good.
He's going to be an absolute menace, isn't he? Yeah.
He's got 18 long shots for a striker. Like, I don't know.
just in case somebody catches him up.
Oh, wait.
Just in case.
In his player traits, he's got breaks like horrifically, regularly.
Yeah. Natural fitness, no. Yeah. Joe, not physically possible. Speaking of permanently injured players as well, one who has actually got ridiculously low natural fitness, Ronaldo, like proper Ronaldo, Brazilian Ronaldo. He's at AC Milan in this save.
He is.
And again, at this point, his legs have exploded repeatedly. He's been publicly shamed by Real Madrid for putting on a bit of timber. But he's at AC Milan now, and he still looks like an absolute will. You'll probably get a season out of him before his attributes start to plummet off a cliff. But again, he's still got 19 finishing. He's got 18 decision-making, 20 off the ball, 18 technique. I mean, in terms of his physicals, you know, 15 pace, 13 acceleration, 13 agility, 16 balance. He's still going to do a job for you. He's still going to be an absolute menace. I mean, looking back last season when I did the 98-99 database. My goodness, that was difficult. He scored over 100 goals in multiple seasons for me when I was managing Inter Milan. This is not 100 goal a season Ronaldo, but it's still a lot. It's still Ronaldo, isn't it? And he's still got enough about him to be a bit of a menace. This is a database for strikers. This really is a database for some phenomenal strikers. So have some fun with it. This is the beauty of these saves is that, you know, you're not going to start a 20-year, you know, this isn't something you're not going to manage in this database for years and years and years and years and years. I mean, you can if you want to. The you know, it's set up for you to do it if you want to. I think there's, is it Mr. Teeny has done a new gen data, like a mod update for the new gens that come through. Mm-hmm. So real life players come through their clubs at the right times.
That's amazing.
So if you, which is quite incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So you can set that up. So basically new gens don't exist for at least 20 odd seasons. It's going to be the right players coming to the right clubs in the right seasons, their youth intakes. So you can manage for a long, long time. But if you want just a little bit of a palate cleanser from just, you know, regular modern day FM, get stuck into this for a couple of years. You're going to have the best time. The mad scientist, literally, this is all he does. 6 days a week, 12 hours a day, is create these databases. And they are incredible. Absolutely incredible. So if you've not played one before, and you've heard, if you've seen us getting excited about old footballers, just go, Aidan McGeady.
Let's face it.
Oh my God, best day of my life.
In theory, we could do this for another hour and still have not scratched the surface. So it is that
absolutely
kind of thing.
So, we could. See, I'm looking at Chris Brunt now. I'm looking at Chris Brunt, and I'm just really, really happy. Oh, my God, Chris.
Step away from the Chris Brunt.
Never. You can't make me. You absolutely can't make me. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. My three all-time favourite footballers, with no hint of irony, are the Brazilian Ronaldo, Chris Brunt, and Barry Bannon. So, and I've got the opportunity to manage all of them on this one, and I couldn't be happier. So please start a save with Mad's database. Get stuck in. Let us know how you're getting on. Come back to us in a couple of weeks' time and say, hey, I've started a save with Valencia. I'm managing Napoli. I didn't get Derby relegated. I'm having the best time. Let us know who you're doing. Let us know who you've signed. Let us know how you've got on, because we'd love to hear from you.
And make sure that you go on social media and tell Mad how amazing he is and the great job that he does, because it is phenomenal work.
That is very important. And that's the best thing about it as well, is that it's free. It's not behind a paywall.
Mm.
You can, it, he just puts it on Steam Workshop, and away we go. And I've found tweets this week where just people that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily associate with football managers, and they're just like, oh, I play Football Manager, and I found a mod, and it puts all these retro players in the game, and I've been playing that. And people are like, yep, that's the mad scientist, and they're just tagging it because everybody wants him to get the plaudits that he deserves for putting the amount of effort into this that he does. Because I think to the casual observer, you don't understand the logistics of how these work. You don't understand how much time and effort goes into it. And like I say, it's his life. It's his life for 6 months of the year, every single year. And it's nothing short of incredible. So cheers, Mad. Get stuck in. Show your appreciation to him by playing with his database. We're going to later tonight, and I can't wait.
It's going to be
very, very good. Very good. Now, from the past to the present, I think we've gone back. Now let's go forward again. We haven't had a save update from Jeb in a little while, and for the audio listeners, he's stretching. So strap yourselves in, because Jeb, how's Morecambe?
Somehow still in the job at Morecambe, but yeah, it's not great. So we got to, I think, what are we in season? Let's just double check. I need to remind myself. I think I'm in season 4, which Callum got. I think Callum finally got promoted in season 4. Spoiler for future. But yeah, we're in season 4, and we signed Ryan Ledson. Marcelo retired. Shinji Kagawa just went into the under-21s to rot because he wasn't very good. There's no nicer way to put it. It's like,
that's how he envisaged his career ending.
Tried to sell him, but no, he was just playing in the reserves at the local school pitch. I don't know where he's playing, Shinji Kagawa. Of course he was. It's like, I want to go back to Japan. It's like, well, nobody wants you, unfortunately, so I can't get rid of you. So I've got to carry on paying you $2,000 a week for the next year until you retire. So he retired at the end of the forthcoming season. Didn't really play him. Like I said, his physicals had gone. So we signed Ryan Ledson. Dakers was obviously still at the club. We brought some loan players in, which was quite nice, to be fair. We brought in Leighton Lovey, I think Kev had at Stoke. Kane Taylor, Matthew Dennis, who's at MK Dons. We got a connection with Leeds, so we had a couple of their players come through as well. And we picked up Thierry Small on loan as well as the left back from Southampton. Mm-hmm. He was really good. He came in, hit the ground running, got a goal and assist in his first game. And we started the season off and we won quite handsomely and we're third in the table. Mm-hmm. And that was the highest we got all season. That, honestly, this game, like, so yesterday I played from October right the way through to the end of the season. I was going to stream and then my allergies kicked in, so I just thought, just going to carry on playing while I sit here, snotting away, and just play where we get to. So we did do a few streams on it, and I think there was one stream in particular where Marcus Dakers went, I haven't scored for a while. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to score 12 goals in 3 games. So that's what Marcus Dakers did. And he carried on that way. His goal scoring form was excellent. He finished with Golden Boot, got 30 goals by the end of the season. But the inconsistency of this game, for me, is really, really starting to bug me. And maybe I need to go do another save or something, or need to go experience it. But it's, you win a game 7-0, then the next game you lose 4-2, and it makes no sense. It makes no sense whatsoever. XG, okay, so end of the season, and I put this, if you look in the Jebaru section of the FMT Discord, I was updating people. The XG table, so we finished 10th. If I look at the XG table, which probably won't be able to find now, no, it won't show me it now. But I was looking at the XG table. We should have finished first, and we were minus 10 on XG. That's how bad we were. And the amount of games where we'd have like 2 or 3 XG and score a goal or not score at all just kept on happening. And I don't know, like, I had, I think it was 4 board meetings, and they just went, yeah, fine. We trust the process. We believe you're going to do it. I was like, okay, cool. They bought that line. But then I also bizarrely got interviews for Luton and Fulham, who are Premier League teams. They both approached me. I didn't apply for them. They both approached me, and then they went with somebody else. I didn't actually try to meme the interviews this time. So they approached me. So I must be doing something right somewhere. Like, we are scoring a lot of goals. We conceded 63, which is a hell of a lot. So maybe we do need to look at the defence or how we're defending. But it's Morecambe's, we've got a good basis of a squad and they're quite young. Mm-hmm. And obviously we want to build them up. Morecambe was a difficult save to start off with because you didn't have many players and none of them were on long-term contracts. So you basically recycled everyone back in. We picked up Carlos Mendes Gomez as well, who is a club legend because he scored the winning goal in the playoffs to get into League One a few years ago. He came on a free. He's 28. He's all right. He needs to develop a little more, but I could also just recycle him and make a bit of money on him. So the temptation's there, but I don't know where to go with this inconsistency. I can't. It's not even like it's a case of I'm losing all my away games or winning my home games. It's both sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've had a good January in this game at all. Mm. Like the January in this season, I put a screenshot in there. We lost 5 games of the 6 games that we played, and I don't know where to go. So I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching out for advice. Maybe I don't know what we can do to settle stuff. I don't know what's missing from the squad because there's a really nice squad there, but it's just not getting the results.
It's frustrating. It's one of the most frustrating things, isn't it? When you just can't put a finger on why it's just not working. And when it consistently happens as well, sometimes you can just put it down to a blip. Sometimes you can just put it down to, sometimes these things happen. We've all had it, you know. I've had it in the network save where form's gone a little bit wonky for a little while, but it's because you're missing out on key players, for example, or something's happened in that respect. But when it's just happening over and over and over and over and over again, it's a really, really, really hard thing to get your head around because there's nothing to blame it on.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the hardest things. So,
I mean, some of the spells of form that I've had in this save in particular, actually, I had a really good January in one of them, just looking back. But I went on a 10-match without a win. And then I went on a 10-match unbeaten streak. It's just... I don't know. I don't know if it's realism or not. I don't know if it's just... There's something that just clicks at certain points, but yeah, it was like, yeah, I'm just looking at that one. That's just a madness, really, to be fair. That's the one where I lost to Accrington 7-0, actually, and then lost to Grimsby 6-0 as well. And it made no sense why we lost those games, and then we go on a 10-match unbeaten streak, one drawing, and that's it. And it's like...
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make literally none. There's nothing that you can look at that justifies why that would go in that way. And it's really, really difficult. Am I right in saying you might have you're considering, you know, would you go down the same route you've gone with Wolves, for example, where you just plug in a 4-2-3-1 ganging press and just let the players play?
I tried that with this one. It didn't work. So it did, like, and to be fair, I only plugged that one in. I barely won a game. I won 2-1 against Norwich or something stupid, so it wasn't the greatest of win. But yeah, it's... I don't know.
So in the updates that you were putting up last night, in the last couple of... Is that where you got to, or did you continue further on than that? So there's a screenshot that says 9 games to go to... 9 games to claw back 15 points. The sack loomed for you, etc., with the last couple of bits.
So we picked up 17 points in the last 8 games. So we did all right, but we just stayed 10th. We didn't go any further.
And what was the prediction for this season?
Prediction for this season was promotion.
Right. So
we were with in the season preview, we were 5-2 on to get promoted. Which was, obviously I thought was a bit ambitious from the bookies, but there we are. I mean, Wrexham won the league with 101 points. I mean, they won it like in February or something stupid.
Right.
But
sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one. Like, and then like the wage budget got reduced halfway through the season as well, so that didn't help matters. I had to get rid of a lot of the loan signings I had. Tried to get rid of some other players that were still over budget, so there was pressure there. But I don't know. Like, I've got the attacking threat is great sometimes. Dakar scored a lot of goals, but actually looking outside let's have a quick look outside of Dakar's. Yeah, the next goal scorer is 8 goals with, and that's one of the central midfielders. So I've not really got anyone backing Dakar's up with goals, but he got 32 in 38 games essentially, and
yeah,
he was somebody I was actually looking to move on, but then he just hit the ground running ridiculous and just didn't really stop. He's not really developed like much further either, so it's a bit strange. He's one of those anomalies in the game, I think, Marcus Dacker's, I'm not sure why.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm you know, looking at what you put up yesterday, I could offer all sorts of random suggestions that you've probably already thought and already done. There's nothing that sort of really goes. I mean, the first thought I have is that you need to find someone that's going to be in and around Dakers a bit more than you've got potentially. Yeah. But other than that, it should be winning. It should, you know, it's a perfectly good setup with a team that, you know, that were predicted to be in that top section. Therefore, you know, it's perfectly plausible for you to be on the front foot and play positive and all those kinds of things that you're doing. But yeah, Morecambe. Yay.
I enjoy the challenge of it, but yeah, I'm now like going to a fifth season now in League Two. So there's not much moving on. To be fair, the players are all fine as well. Like there's one unhappy about not reaching the playoffs, but I think he almost came out straight after that and just went, I'm happy, I'm fine to stay. Okay. So it's a bit weird.
That's it. You don't want to feel like you're treading water, but at the same time, if you left it for a bit, would you feel like you'd maybe given up prematurely?
Yeah, a little bit. But that was the thing. Like, if that Luton or Fulham job came in, I would genuinely was tempted to go. Hibernian even came in for me as well. They were fourth in the Scottish Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that I'm getting job offers, even though I'm just a mid-table. Well, that's the first thing. Is like, you've never won anything. Like, yep, it's in the team I've got.
Yeah. This is why.
Yeah, exactly.
have you met them? There's a reason for it.
The randomness and the inconsistent nature of it all means that potentially at the beginning of next season, this particular set of players, if you keep them together, will go off on a run and start well, and the momentum will carry you forward, and you might get up again. You know,
because we get to January, then lose 10 in a row, and then
well,
win
maybe, but you know, it might not. But yeah,
It's one. I think it is. I don't know. I don't know if it's the game or if it's just me. Probably more like looking at the way other people have gone with saves, etc. But yeah, it's a very strange one.
The other thing that I find, because I'm playing in and around sort of League One, the Championship at the moment in my save, and it's such a long, hard season.
Yeah,
I mean, you know. To go through 46 league matches and then a couple of cup competitions, one specifically designed for your level of club as well, so you could potentially go quite a long way into it. It's a long season. There's a lot of matches in there, and for the type of player you got, the facilities you've got, etc., that frays around the edges quite a lot, I would suggest, at this level. But yeah, fun times.
Yeah,
the joys of lower leagues.
I contracted that this season by getting knocked out of the FA Cup in the first round by Oldham and getting knocked out in.
Smart, yeah. That's the move. In the EFL Cup, how you do it.
Yeah. I mean, we got knocked out by Chelsea. In the EFL Cup, we got knocked out by Chelsea 1-0 at Chelsea. So we weren't actually terrible against them.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I still remember we actually got quite far in the EFL Trophy. We played against Tottenham under 23s who had Richarlison up front. Just like, this is unfair.
What? Hold on.
Yeah. Some of those under 23 teams, like the players that they put out, and they just go, oh, yeah, we're just going to put him out for a quick game. It's just like, no, that's not fair. Like, well, the under 21 just didn't happen that. So.
This is the biggest day of my season. Not Richarlison. It's just M. Bison, isn't it? It's like, you know, for you, the day Richarlison came to your club was the biggest day in your club's history. For him, it was just Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we shall see. We'll push on to season 5. I'll probably do an actual transfer window stream to see what I can do there.
Yep.
How much I'll get on other than that. Yeah. And I do want to play some more FM. I've not streamed for a while. There's been a bit of, I don't know, I think I've raised it before, like stream anxiety, stream. Just going, loads of other people are on. Just go watch them. You don't need to watch me. Obviously, illness doesn't help with matters, etc. as well. So we'll see where we
get. Just get Roy to do it for you and just sit in the background of his stream.
Exactly. There you go. Get See a stream run by Roy.
Keen VTuber. There you go.
There you go. Yes. the world's first Roy Keane. Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. I think we just work. I think we should abandon everything else. We just workshop this now. Yeah. Roy Keane bee tubing. That's the move. That's the move. Well, that's something I would love to see. So, hey, it's important to have dreams. Really, really weird dreams. Look, I think whatever happens, I think it's either going to turn itself around, because inevitably it has to. It absolutely has to. Or just take a little break for a bit. Move on, do something else that keeps you happy. Have a sliding doors moment next time you get offered a job for a different club, because inevitably they will come. Just, you know, save and branch off and go elsewhere. So, you know, you can always go back to Morecambe.
I will do a supermarket simulator stream. We'll say that, like, honestly.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it on Twitch. It's become, I think Limmy was playing it this week, but there's various, lots of other people playing. It is the most mundane game you've ever heard of. Oh, look after a supermarket, set the prices and run it all. But the addictiveness of doing that is ridiculous. And especially this week, they've added shelf stackers to it, so you can have one shelf stack your shelves instead of you doing it manually. I know.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like a capitalist nightmare to me. But hey, everyone can live their lives. Actually, that sounds. It sounds like when I hear it now, I sound like, no, I'm going to hate that. That sounds awful. But then it's also the kind of thing that I can see myself. You know, suddenly I've been playing it for 10 hours nonstop, and I'm just having spent 5 hours agonizing over the price of my beans. But that's the kind of thing that I would.
Anyway,
there you go. See, that's the adverts. It's just, you know, it's just Jeb just patting his bum. That's what they used to do for the supermarket adverts, which just raises more questions, realistically speaking. But hey, that's advertising for you, baby. I don't understand it. And hey, look, I think we've done just over an hour before we've all gone off on weird tangents. So by our standards, I think quite good. Well done, everybody. I think the hour and 10 minute mark is our cutoff before we just give up and just let it go. We just let it go where it's going to go at that point, and I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I might try and get the train back on the tracks now.
Probably just go for it. Try.
Wind up. Shall I give it a go?
Go on.
All right, are we ready?
Go on.
Well, I don't know about the two of you, but that feels very much like a podcast to me.
No, I think we should go back into the retro database for another hour. Checked out? Okay, yeah, go on then. I've got things I have to do, apparently, so yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Hugo Lloris. He's a niece. He's really good. There we go. Right, we're done. We're done now. Before we start to wrap up, though, Kev, if people would like to watch you creating communities,
yes,
as you do so love to do, where can they find you doing that this week, pal?
Yeah, you can find me at the United City FM, both on Twitter or X, whatever we're supposed to call it these days, and Twitch. I'm on Twitch every weekday afternoon, 3 till 5 p.m. UK time. Come and join us. We are with Stoke City. I'll give an update on my save possibly next week, so I won't tell you about it now, but it's good fun. We're having a great time, so come and join us there. There'll be a network save at some point with these guys as well for the Football Manager Therapy podcast network saves. So come and join us on that, and the rest will be absolutely lovely. So yeah, that's where you can find me.
Super duper. Jeb, if people would like to watch you doing shelf stacking and possible football management, where can they find you doing those things?
There's nothing strange or anything happening in the network, say, particularly with Kev. Nothing's happened at all.
Nothing at all.
Final this week. We thought it was last week, but then the Rich got to a different cup stage, so they actually thinking back on this, how can you reschedule the Carabao Cup final?
I don't think you can, really. It's a madness, isn't it?
Surely you've got to book Wembley for that. Like, it's like,
yeah.
Here's the dates that we're booked. We'll book them years in advance. Oh, can we move it? Because we want to play the FA Cup like fourth round. Is that all right?
Just on the day.
Yeah, that's fine. But anyway, yeah. So that Carabao Cup final between Manchester United and Wolves will be happening this week.
Yep.
I think it might get rescheduled again. Who knows? Because they want to play the FA Trophy final or something like that. Who knows?
This is it.
More important top competitions. But yes, the second piece of silverware to come available for any of our teams in 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, saying that, Morecambe doesn't seem that bad. Right.
Yeah, when you've already put it like that, you know, we've spent over a year on this save, and with the exception of Jebberu winning the why Callum's just had a baby cup, none of us have won anything. So
yeah, it's disappointing.
Twitch.tv/Jebberu. There you go, Dom.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Happy what about days. You, Rich?
The real winner of the save, by the way, is Friendship. So no cash value.
That's true.
Doesn't improve your manager rep either. twitch.tv/RichardOwens.fm, apparently. Cheers, Colton.
Twitch.tv/RichardOwens.fm.
Yep, I'll be there. I'll be network saving. And this week, I will be back with the Barca retro save. Didn't manage anything last week because just it's been a very busy week in my life outside of streaming. So I just have physically just haven't had the time, or more importantly, the energy. So just hasn't happened. I said to these lads before we went live, I accidentally, on Friday evening, I went to close my eyes, rest my eyes for half an hour, and accidentally slept for pretty much 17 hours. So, you know, that just gives you a rough idea of energy levels over the last week or so. But I'll be back this week. Retro Barcelona is going to be back. FMT Network Save is going to be back. Jeb's going to bat me in a cup final. And I'm never going to get over it. So that's all of those things to look forward to.
And I'm going all to watch.
And Kev's going to watch. And it's definitely not going to get repeatedly brought up for the rest of the save. So that'll be good. Please come and enjoy some, or ideally all of those things with us. We'd really, really love to hear from you. Of course, we're gonna end the podcast now, but then we're actually all going to meet back up in about 6.5 hours time to do FMT versus the community.
Yeah.
So if you want to find out how that goes on, we're streaming on all of our Twitch. Well, some of us are streaming this evening, some of us aren't. We're all going to be in a voice call. Come and hang out with us. And if you don't get to catch it, then we'll probably talk about it next week instead. So got that to look forward to too. Forward planning. What are the chances? Lovely stuff. Lads, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been good to be back. Hope you've enjoyed it as well. Hope you've enjoyed listening or watching. However you're consuming this podcast, hope you're enjoying it. Tell a friend, they'll tell two friends, they'll tell two friends. Everything will be good. Thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Football Manager Therapy. We will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.